Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
And they didn't know what to say. Speechless, and probably a bit afraid. It's the only natural response to some sort of thing like this. Unless, like Peter, you would like to try to build something. Maybe we resonate with Peter's attempt to capture this miraculous moment and make this odd but wonderful experience last longer, to somehow memorialize what they have experienced. Or maybe we are just struck speechless like the disciples. For some of us, the stories of miracles and wonders sit a little strange. I am not really drawn to these stories. My scientific logic mind suggests that these might not have actually happened. I'm prone to quickly write off the miraculous texts and look for more pragmatic texts that help me with my daily life. Something in my reading this week, though, caused me to be a bit more open to the possibility that God's power does work wonders. And maybe my logical nature gets in the way of really experiencing God in powerful ways. Transfiguration isn't a word we use much in common English. When I tried to find non-biblical examples, I found a few in poetry and in literature, mostly speaking about how the moon or daylight transfigures someone's appearance, or how joy or happiness transfigures someone's expression. We can see that in our mind's eye, right? How a face is transfigured as they gaze upon a loved one, or how the moonlight makes the landscape glow in a beautiful way. Love can transform us. It can transfigure our being. We are able to reflect love when we experience pure beauty, deep love, or amazing grace. The text tells us that the appearance of Jesus changed. Not that he himself was transformed in any way, but his clothing appeared dazzling white. And that Moses and Elijah appear with him. So much that happens in this text seems to be metaphors and allusions. As a literary device, this story actually serves many purposes for the listeners. They are up on a mountaintop, and as we know, a mountaintop is always a place of incredible experiences. We probably know this from our own experiences of hikes and vistas and views. The mountaintop also recalls Moses receiving the law, and then he appears here. Elijah represents the prophets. So we see in this experience that Jesus is in line with the law and the prophets, which is the whole of the identity of the faith of the Hebrew people. We also understand that white robes can be a symbol of martyrdom. And so this may be revealing that Jesus is the one who will be a martyr, who will die for the message that he is bringing. In any case, this story provides a really important transition point. As a theological literary device, or as a powerful miracle from God, this is about midway through Mark's gospel, And it moves the narrative from this itinerant preacher and healer to one who is moving towards Jerusalem. He is going to come into direct confrontation with the imperial powers during Holy Week. And here we have the voice from heaven. Just as in the baptism, the voice declares that Jesus is beloved. And this time, as if in response to Peter and the rest of the disciples directly, the voice says, "Listen to him. Listen to him." As Rich reminded us in his sermon last week, when Jesus had the opportunity to set up a wellness clinic and continue healing the many people lined up to see him, he knew that he actually had to go on and keep preaching. He was there to share the message of the kingdom, and so he needed to keep moving and to keep sharing that message. It seems that these disciples needed a powerful call to pay attention, to really listen to what Jesus was saying. If we look in some of the surrounding texts in the previous chapter, Jesus has asked the disciples, "Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? And do you not remember?" It seems that the disciples are really not catching on to Jesus' message. So God speaks out of heaven, "Listen, pay attention." We know that the core message of Jesus is that the kingdom is at hand, a kingdom unlike any earthly power we know, a realm of nonviolence, of love, of justice. The way of Jesus will be clarified and explained further in the teaching in the coming narratives in Mark. He will be teaching about solidarity with the least of these in society, about equality and compassion, economic justice, resource sharing, service rather than domination. But it seems that this idea is falling on deaf ears among the disciples. Jesus has also been alluding to his coming arrest, trial, and execution, but the disciples have been rejecting this teaching and information. In a story just previous to this one, Peter pulls Jesus aside and rebukes him. And Jesus responds with the famous line, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So Jesus has been trying to get through to these disciples and to the people, telling them his message. And somehow it's so hard to take in that Peter has even rebuked Jesus for his core message. Later, the following teachings will remind us that we are supposed to pay attention to the first becoming last and the greatest becoming least. So this continuous message of Jesus' upside-down kingdom is just difficult to take in. In this middle part of Mark, the disciples' blindness and deafness continues to worsen, but we also hear these kind of parallel stories of Jesus healing a deaf man, healing a blind man, bringing out the unclean spirits, and healing another blind person. So as the disciples continuously misunderstand and aren't taking in Jesus' hearing, we are also knowing and understanding that Jesus can make the deaf hear and the dumb to speak, help the blind to see clearly. So we know it is possible for people to hear and see the message of Jesus. But at this midpoint, Jesus brings these three disciples up to the mountaintop, and God is calling them with a literal voice from heaven to pay attention, to really listen to what Jesus is saying. This transfiguration reveals the truth about God, about Jesus, and about the world. God's power in Jesus saves us from the false lords and the powers that are pretending to rule our lives. God's resurrection power redeems what is lost, transfigures our lives, makes us new, and causes us to reflect the love and power of God. That is the gospel truth, even when sometimes that life-giving truth is hidden from our view. Peter is so overwhelmed, maybe excited, about seeing Moses and Elijah, these important heroes and prophets of the faith, so he suggests a building project. Sometimes when we want to, when we see something true, something important, something beautiful, we also want to try to capture it. I think of all of us walking around taking photos and videos on our phones, not even pausing to really see what's right in front of us. We also try to capture our experiences in these little boxes. I am pretty horrible about this, capturing videos of my kids rather than just taking in the experience of the joy and the beauty or the opportunity of something new. But what would we hear or notice if we were really paying attention? Maybe we would see transfiguration moments more often. People being revealed to us as God's holy and beloved children. That is, all of us. As we realize and remember how we have seen people transfigured by love, how might these transfiguration moments be happening around us? How can we be listening and open to seeing that kind of love in our midst? How might we be part of transfiguration moments, honoring the belovedness of others, noticing people when they are reflecting love? Could we take the time to really take in the reality that we are God's children, holy and beloved, and reflect that belovedness out into the world around us? All of the people we encounter, those who we rush past or do not notice, those who we don't want to take notice of, all of God's children are beloved. And maybe we would see more people glowing with God's powerful inner light if we would pay attention. I think if we're paying attention truly, it might reveal some hard things as well. Maybe we would see the truth about how many people are dying as their beauty and love encounter systems and structures of greed and oppression. As Jesus faced death because his message of grace and love was so counter to the powers of empire around him, we also know that good, loving people and possibilities for new life face death every day when they confront our own empire and forces of evil in the world. Maybe if we pay attention and listen and really see, maybe we would also have a deeper respect for God's power in the world around us. All of creation, all of God's children, beloved and holy, power and love and justice beyond what we perceive in our day-to-day lives. I do believe God's power is present in nature, in loving acts of resistance, in care and compassion. Slowing down to really listen, experience, and notice can be difficult. It puts us in vulnerable situations, and it can make us feel a bit uneasy. Like Peter, we might have some fear or anxiety that we rush to put into a box or capture in some way so that we aren't experiencing fully the challenges and the beauty around us. God's glory is being revealed to us, the presence of the Spirit in the body of Christ, the community of believers. It's there if we will listen and see the revelations. The truth of the way of Jesus, the kingdom of God, is available. We have seen and know the power of love in the face of the powers of oppression, greed, and empire. We do know what grace and mercy look like, and we have the opportunity to follow in that way. We are called to join Jesus in this journey, to listen to his message carefully, to participate in his kingdom and realm of love. We have joined him in this mountaintop experience in the text, seeing Jesus as he truly is, glorified, beloved, the fulfillment of law and prophets. And now we must join him in returning down the mountain into the real life challenges of living under empire. May this vision we have taken in, this experience of seeing Jesus as he truly is, grounded in the history of saints and prophets and with power to face the uncertain and precarious future, be an experience that reminds us to listen and pay attention. And may it be an experience of God's power and a way to notice an experience that will give us strength and courage to embrace the alternative way of God. Amen.